What's up, guys?
Not much. How are you guys?
Good. Good.
You all right, Keith?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
I'm good.
How you doing, Nathaniel?
I'm pretty good. It's been really hot here, and I don't have air conditioning, so it hasn't been the most pleasant last couple nights.
Do a lot of people in Oregon not have air conditioning?
I think, like anything new that's built, people do. But in the past, it wasn't typical to have air conditioning here because it just doesn't get that hot typically. But now it does.
Yeah, yeah. Global warming, here we are.
Yeah. Good times. How are things in Turkey?
They are good. It's hot here as well, as you can imagine. What's new? I don't know. Not much. But Istanbul's kind of like lovely in the summer, despite it being hot, because so many people go away. So...
Nice.
The schools are out, so you don't have that traffic, so the traffic's much lighter, and it makes a difference.
So when you say hot, how hot is it? Because I would imagine all the water would help make it more temperate, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's humid here. It's so weird, Istanbul. You get like 3 or 4 different like weather systems kind of converging. So like today it was 29. What is that in Fahrenheit?
I'm looking it up.
84?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, but it is humid, so.
Yeah.
Isn't it like double plus 15 or something like that?
Like real fuel?
No, I mean Celsius to Fahrenheit. I think it's like double Celsius plus 15 or 13 degrees or something like that.
But that wouldn't work for when you think about freezing. That wouldn't work. There must be more to it than that.
Oh, maybe that's just a shorthand that I learned a while ago.
I remember hearing something like that, but
I'm seeing times 9/5 plus 32.
So that's almost 2 times in plus 32, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Somewhat right, double plus, yeah. You know, 30 or so.
Why are we questioning our data analytics guy?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm sorry. I'm gonna back off.
And John, how was your trip?
It was great, man. Like overall, just had like more like I think I miss it more now or something, or I just left with like such good feelings about America, where we are. Like, it's just people are so nice to each other there, and like, you know, they wait in line and kind of like, let's just work things out. And then it's also like the tech, like I just see like new tech everywhere. Like the credit card machines are just so fast now. And that's a stupid example, but just, you know, you can see it just working there.
Yeah.
It's an amazing place, dude. Yeah.
But yeah. You got everything done you wanted to do while you were here?
I guess, man. It was like 4 trips to Target, 1 to outlets, 1 to 2 to a mall.
So you came to shop.
Yeah, the women loved. I mean, yeah, they all the Turkish whatever wives, like they're like, oh, Target, like, they just want to go.
that's not a Turkish thing. My wife is definitely like a let's go to Target person, right, too.
As we have a podcast about buying sports cards. Did you buy any of that crappy retail stuff?
I did not. I did get a couple boxes of Elite that we're going to open here with my friend Will. So we're going to do it where we pick teams. So we're going to have like a draft of teams.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if you guys have any good sneaky picks there, let me know.
Is it Hobby Box or do they have retail of this? Okay. I like Elite. I mean, I don't have any of it, but I hypothetically like Elite.
Yeah, Sam. Yeah. I know Keith likes it too.
Yeah, yeah. I would want the teams that have the Titleist insert.
Okay.
And I think that's probably the big one, but I also like the Dimensions. Both of those are like the lenticular ones.
Sweet. I'm writing this down right now.
There may be other. I mean, there's a bunch of autos, right? But then there's two that I like a lot. It's Dimensions, and then this year there's one called Titleist, which is, there's only 5 cards in it. I'm looking at it now. It's Steph, Dirk, KD, Giannis, and LeBron. So the KD and Steph are both Warriors, and are LeBron is like actually Cleveland rather
case,
than
case hit kind of things, or what are these?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So that's this is for 2021.
Oh, 2021.
Yeah.
My bad. 2021. By the way, the Titleist is not in that one.
But Dimensions.
Dimensions is, yeah. But
yeah,
some of those go for a lot. Like if you look up like the LeBron or Steph Dimensions, but some of them less so. Like I got the KD from 2021. I actually bought it yesterday for, I think it was 25. So it's not like it's not going to go for like a ton. You're probably, if you're looking for value, it's probably better to look for the autos and stuff. But those are the ones that I like.
Aren't all the autos are all stickers though? They can't go for that much, do they?
Well, I don't know. Probably not. But I mean, I would imagine so like if there's a Tatum Dimension and a Tatum auto, then I imagine the auto would go for more.
Yeah, true. So these Dimensions things are lenticular. The pictures don't show them very well, but I imagine they look really awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I have never seen one in person, but I've seen them on video being like waved or whatever, you know, so you can see like the two different images and everything.
Yeah,
they look pretty cool.
Kind of like how my jambalaya, I was so impressed with it in person. Makes sense.
Yeah, I've been looking for them for a while. I finally bought one just to have it and see what it's like.
So is it Elite where Panini does actually interesting things? Is that what this product is?
Well, I like it. And, oh, one of the cool things, John, about the 2021 Elite is all rookies are numbered, even the base are numbered to $9.99. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was, I think it was like $260 a box.
Nice.
Which I don't know. It's down a lot from what it was.
Yeah. I was at the card shop a couple weeks ago and I only bought a couple packs of Hobby Donruss. So, in other words, I didn't spend any money at all, but I definitely was looking at a box of Elite. I didn't get it, but I considered it. So I'm interested now to hear that you got one.
Yeah, we got just like one each for us. It was a bit of a you know, obviously what do you call that, a impulse buy to some extent after he opened his box.
Yeah,
and got that auto. He's like, it's so fun, let's do it again.
It's awesome. Yeah.
So whatever, I'm sure we'll end up losing, but whatever.
Yeah. One parallel that I like from Elite, because it came from Status, is the aspirations in the Status, because I like how they do it. The Status parallel is the jersey number, so whatever they are, it's out of that. So other than like Luca, that's always the rare one. But then the aspirations is whatever that number is, minus 99. So it's like this mirrored numbering thing that's pretty cool, I think.
Interesting. Yeah, you got it. Is that Edwards rookie that year? No.
No, it's like the Cade Jalen Green.
Mobley,
yeah, that year.
Yeah, I mean, Rockets are probably going to be a high pick because we both like Shengun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think that's the first pick between Jalen Green and Shengun.
Although, do you guys, I mean, what do you think about Jalen Green? I mean,
you need to ask Keith.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I mean, I like him personally, but I mean, I just think that team has been such a mess. So he didn't have a great year last year. He didn't improve upon his rookie year. And it's a little bit discouraging if you're collecting Jalen Green. Like I have some. I definitely went through a period where I was buying a bunch of Jalen Green, or at least some, but I haven't bought any in a while. I don't know what it is about him. I just have this, like, I don't know if it's like an affinity or what, but I just kind of like him. So I hope he does well. But last year wasn't that encouraging. I'm hoping that maybe with a different coach and, you know, a little bit more veterans and stuff on the team, maybe they can. I'm hoping it was, what I guess what I'm trying to say is, I'm hoping it was more of a situational failure, right, than the player is just not good or whatever.
I think it to some extent, it definitely is. I mean,
I would think having Van Vliet there next to him instead of KPJ, that's got to have a big impact in a lot of ways.
I saw a video of Van Vliet and Jalen Green working out together, like running up a hill outside and stuff already. Nice. So that's good.
Yeah, I would, you know, I don't love the Brooks move, but I would think the just culturally and on the floor, I would think the Fred Van Vliet thing should be really good for Jalen Green.
Yeah, hope so.
Yeah, and for Shengun. You and I both have our prospect on the Rockets.
Yeah, well, I actually, so Nathaniel, I know you asked about if I had any thoughts. Like, I haven't been able to get as deep into the breakout stuff as I would like, but I did go through two draft classes and start to look at like who has some of the same markers as the other guys that I studied or whatever. Shengun like definitely popped out. Like I went through and grouped them as like good candidates for breakouts and like great candidates based on the things that I saw in the other guys. And I've got Shengun in the great candidate bucket.
Nice.
I think he definitely could have an ascension.
So when you guys look at Shingun's upside, I mean, do you see like his Jokic level amazingness possible? I would think at max, I would think like a Sabonis sort of player. But do you guys see more than that?
I think he can be more dynamic than Sabonis because he can block shots and he just has more of a jumper. I mean, he has a mid-range jumper. And so, yeah, obviously he won't be Jokic, but yeah, I'd say above. Sabonis has his limitations.
Yeah. So, John, you would know better than me, but that's exactly what's basically going to be my exact answer as well. Like, I guess I see him as the potential, at least, as being kind of above Sabonis, but, you know, super unlikely to be Jokic, right? But I think he could be better than Sabonis, potentially.
I know Sabonis isn't a good defender either, but he's a really good rebounder. Because Shengun's not as big, right? So does he have, can he be your center on a good team?
You know, I don't know. Well, John, I don't know. I have actually a comp, not from a stats perspective, but just from a like gameplay and like the fact that he's a really good passer. And
Yeah.
Kind of more power forward sized and stuff. And I think it's like right in your wheelhouse. But before that, let's do you want to answer or respond to Nathaniel's question? Do you think he could be a center?
Could he be a center? I mean, I mean, Draymond's a center. Sabonis is a center. I don't know. You know, it's kind of like, I feel like that's where the league's going a bit. But you know, you want, you could have, like if Wemby went there, I think it would have been okay. Kind of.
Yeah. Okay. I've always liked watching him, but I've never really thought about buying his card. So it's interesting to hear you guys' optimism.
I mean, I'm also like, yeah, obviously biased, you know, just doing the turkey thing. And like, I just listed a bunch of Şengün today and one sold within an hour of listing it. So, you know, I definitely have an ulterior motive going on.
Right.
So, all right, John. So Şengün is about 6'9", 235, right? Like more kind of power forward sized rather than center, except for maybe into, like you, to your point in today's NBA, like that's not outlandishly small for a center. Do you think he could be like a Chris Webber type? He's a really good passer, like Weber was. He's got a good back to the basket game, and also has some jumper potential.
Yeah, that really tickles me inside. I like that. Analytically, let me put on my head. I just feel like Weber was really athletic.
Yeah, no, that's what I was gonna say. There's a big athletic difference here. I don't know about that one.
It's a stretch. I'm not saying it's like a one-to-one. All I'm saying is like similar games, except for the, you know, he's probably not going to be dunking over people all the time or whatever, but I don't.
Right.
And while Weber did that, I think of him more as like a mid-range jumper and, you know, like a really good passer. That's the first thing I think about with Weber.
That's what made him special. Yeah, I agree. And Şengün, I mean, he dunks on people too. I mean, he's not like a pushover.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got some Hakeem moves to him down low. Like he's got good footwork, that kind of thing.
Okay. I mean, like that.
I believe, I got to say. I didn't before, but I do now.
I haven't gone deep on him, but I'm starting to get more and more interested. Every time I look at him, everything looks good from like the stats that I like to look at and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, he had a stretch this year where he was like kind of almost Jokic, you know, approaching that kind of like, you know, 10 assists, 11 rebounds kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you go back through his game log.
I'm on it right now.
He's young, too. He's not even 21.
That's right.
Birthday's coming up.
Yeah, dang. At the beginning of January.
Yeah.
10 assists, 7, 6, 6, 6, 7, 7, 10, 7. Those are consecutive games. Most of the, like all of them putting up double-digit points, sometimes up to 20, up to 33 was his most. It's crazy.
I got to say, there's a big shooting difference here. Like, Jokic has never been under 80% on free throws. I'm the cold water guy on
Şengün here. Well, I mean, I think we're talking about, like, I don't think we're saying he's there. I think we're just saying like he has potential to be really good, like an all-star, all-NBA player in that type of mold. I think.
I agree for basketball, but for cards, you have to be Jokic as a big man to matter. So I think for cards, I'm unless you live in Turkey, I'm skeptical that it's going to matter.
That's fair. I appreciate that perspective. Houston is a good market, potentially, big market. Yeah, he's not going to be Jokic. Look, definitely.
Yeah. I would be curious to look at, because I feel like this is something that, and even I, maybe of the three of us, I've been like the least on big man cards and stuff. But I feel like there's times when a player can go from relatively unknown or like looked over or whatever to good. And there's an opportunity to sell if you're trying to flip. But
yeah, I think
if you're,
there was a time this year where I think you could have made a bunch of money if you had Sabonis cards already. So yeah, sure. I think that's true.
It's just I don't know. I hadn't thought it all the way through, but I would imagine the question is just, are you actually going to get out? Or are you going to do the thing where you hold on and be like, oh yeah, he's so great. Like, look at, he just had this breakout. It's time to hold. He's going to win championships and that kind of thing. I don't know. That's a lot harder for people to do. It's harder for me to do.
And for me, the early years cards are so inflated in price that even, you know, there's like this competing thing where, just logic is bringing down the value of these prices. And then if he does go up, then maybe you meet where you started just because he's a second year player at this point, you know? So the cards are just, you know, like I could probably get a Şengün RPA for the same price I could get your favorite player, Dwayne Wade, Keith. So like, it just doesn't make sense sometimes with the early career players.
Yeah. That's actually exactly the whole reason I wanted to look at that breakout thing was like, if Lauri, right, after he was 2017, right?
Yeah.
So this was the sixth season, I believe. Like, by this point, his cards are before this year, maybe after last year. I wasn't tracking his market or anything, but I would imagine that even the Cleveland year didn't do a whole lot to like boost his cards. But after 5 years, I imagine they came down, you know, pretty significantly. And then it was time to buy. Like that was the whole impetus for that, right? It's like after a couple of years, who has their breakout, not just in their rookie season or it comes out and, you know, is all rookie, all star second season, but like it takes 3 or 4 or 5 years. What do those guys look like? And is there a way to pick them up after their cards have already come down from their initial like hype?
Yeah, I think that would be a great way to go if you could nail it.
Yeah. Well, let me go ahead.
This process for me, at least, like, and this is why I actually thought I could be kind of good at cards, was that because I'm a fantasy junkie, like I'm aware of, like, you know, I know Şengün had like, he popped off last year, right? So, you know, but it's also like watching the preseason, say preseason doesn't matter, but it, you know, guys in new situation, Markkanen was going off during the preseason in Utah. Like we should have been buying like right away.
And the Euro
League. But if we had your analysis and we you know, we had him primed, like this guy could be, you know, like.
Yeah. So that's okay. Can I go through this just briefly? Like, I've shared it on text with y'all, but I'm not going to go through the whole thing I would do if I was doing it just myself. Plus, I'm not totally done. But yeah, that was the whole idea. Like, look for guys who had like significant jumps after their second season. So third season, fourth, fifth, sixth. And I broke it down by like position and stuff. And some of the guys that, and it, there's levels to this too, right? There's no like clear cut, like, all right, this is their quote breakout, right? Sometimes like Shea, for instance, went from, what was it? It was like 19 points per game as a sophomore, then 24 in his third season. Like, that's super strong. But then in his fifth season, 31. So, like, you might say his third season was a breakout, or his second, or his fifth, right? So, like, there's no clear-cut thing. But what I was trying to get at is, like, yeah, what does that look like? And in almost every – here's the guys that I have on my list, right? I'll just read names. Like John Morant, Jalen Brunson, Shea, De'Aaron Fox, DeJounte Murray. All of those are for the guards, for the forwards, like Julius Randle, Pascal Siakam, KP, Giannis, right? And then centers like Bam, Sabonis, Jokic, like all of these guys, you know, had breakouts in their third season or after. And one thing that was pretty consistent with all of them is like they were all like started around league average efficiency and just ended up into more usage or more playing time and just continued their like efficiency, right? Now there's a lot more to it, I'm sure, like situation and like ability to stay on the court defensively and that kind of stuff like matters as well. I haven't finished my analysis or whatever, but that was like the one thing that I was surprised about. Like I imagined that there were going to be some of these breakout guys that played a lot and just got better, right? But that doesn't really seem to be the case. It's in most situations it's they just got more minutes, or they started taking more, you know, a higher percentage of shots or whatever. But that was surprising to me. I didn't find anyone who just had huge efficiency jumps. That's what caused their breakout. It was really more about they just either had the ball more or found the court more.
So that's interesting, because you can kind of, you don't necessarily, it doesn't tell you who's going to break out, but it maybe tells you who's not going to break out, like a Suggs or something who's, although I was thinking of a counterpoint. I'm pretty sure Mike Conley was super inefficient for a long time. So I wonder sometimes with little guards if that can change. But, you know, anyway, I'm not trying to dispute your point. I just was thinking that it all makes sense. And then I thought of Conley. But anyway, in general,
no, you know, these things, they're not clear cut, right? Like, no, of course not. Like, one size fits all. Yeah, I'm sure there's players that don't fit that. Yeah.
Yeah. But in general, like, you know, sometimes I'm like, you know, Suggs, everyone loved him in college. He must be going to turn around, but it makes sense that I can just kind of ignore him with what you're saying, which I like having more players I can ignore. That helps me focus.
Conley, I'll have to go back and look at Conley. I don't think I went back that far when I was looking at guys, because like basically I just went by like draft classes. I just went back, I don't know, 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 draft classes. Conley was 2007, I guess.
Wow.
So I didn't go back that far to look at him, but yeah, that's a good point.
I'm not trying to dispute your thing. It came to my mind.
No, hey, poke holes in it, man. That's what, like I said, I'm not trying to say this is a one size fits all. It's just, this is what I've seen. But I think your point is, your other point is right too. Like that's the, so I actually did do that. I went through the 2020 draft. So these are players going into their fourth season, and 2021 draft. Guys going into the third season, and tried to just put like a label, like, is this guy a good candidate or a great candidate or whatever? Like Suggs, even Scottie Barnes, Josh Giddey, even Jalen Green really doesn't fit that criteria, or like what I saw. But guys like Mobley does, Kuminga does. Moses Moody, I thought, was actually a great candidate. And it seemed as though Kerr was like giving him some run in the playoffs. Like, there's a chance for him to increase his minutes and usage. Şengün, another one. Trey Murphy, and then some of the other guys too, like Grimes, Cam Thomas, and Ayo.
Nice.
Here's another one too that I thought was like a dark horse. Corey Kispert. He's been actually like really efficient. He's like kind of a sniper. I don't know if he's gonna, but I think he's more than like just a Duncan Robinson type. So with all the shots and minutes opening up in Washington, I wonder if he has like, you know, 18 or 20 points a game in him this season.
Cool. I like this as a late round fantasy flyer for me. Yeah.
Jordan Poole doesn't think any shots are opening up.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I forgot. You got Poole and Kuzma still, but
yeah. I mean, those guys, it's going to be so inefficient with those two. So Kispert, you know, and the defense will key on those two guys. So, yeah, anyway, I like Denny there, too. I don't know how his numbers come up, but.
Yeah, not great.
Not great.
at least not for this. I actually like him, too, because I feel like he can kind of do a little bit of everything. He can sort of run point as like a big point guard and score. And he's a really good defender and all that stuff. Like, I like him as a player just from this lens, it didn't pop.
Yeah, I like him too.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of meta conclusion I take from what you were describing is that it's like players are actually kind of, they're like static ends almost, you know, but if they get more shots, and I mean, they grow, of course, we know they grow, but their nucleus, let's say, is pretty static. So just more opportunity is the key for them to, you know.
I think, I think the biggest one is opportunity, but then hand in hand with that is like, I imagine for Shea, right? Like, or someone like that, where it's not just getting more shots and playing time, but if you go from a 20% usage to a 28% usage, which is a big jump, you're probably taking harder shots, you know, more difficult ones, more shots like late in the shot clock, like those kinds of things where, you know, if that's like a skill, I imagine, right? So it's like, if you can maintain your efficiency and get those shots, it's like, I don't know, John, it's like hidden growth, I guess.
Right. Okay.
So I'm curious, what does this mean for Paolo Banchero? Because I think of him as not super efficient.
Yeah.
But he also is starting out with such high usage relative to these other guys. So I don't know, is that like, did Kevin Durant have a decent true shooting percentage when he was a rookie?
No, he was bad as a rookie.
Okay.
Or like true shooting wise, efficiency wise. Okay. But I don't know, like that, I didn't really want to apply it to last year's rookies because it's only been one season and I'm trying to look for guys in their third or fourth or fifth season. It's something to track for sure. Like, I would like to see an efficiency improvement this year from Pella.
So what you're saying is this last rookie class was maybe terrible. Just kidding. I know you're not saying that. I am, though.
Well, how about that 2019 class, Nathaniel? A little strong right now.
Huh? I mean, Zion is scoring a lot from what I hear.
Yeah, he's getting it done.
All right. Last point on this, Nathaniel, another guy who I thought was a really good candidate. It's kind of tough because he basically had a lost season, but was Pat Williams. What do you think?
Ooh, you know, oh. I keep circling Pat Williams. I actually think if he can ever, it's like a personality thing. He's so passive and so, you know, relents to DeMar and all these ball hugs on the Bulls. But I think he has a nice jump shot. He has a nice mid-range game. He can be great on defense. Yeah, I kind of believe in Pat Williams. I don't know if I believe in him as a star, but I'm glad he's a Bull.
Yeah,
awesome. I like him.
Yeah,
I always keep my eye on him for fantasy. So he's another guy, like, preseason will be interesting, but it seems like they need a trade. I mean, you were going to make a point, Keith. I'll let you go, but then maybe we can segue to the Bulls and just kind of what you're thinking.
Free agency stuff, yeah. John, I was just going to say, I was like this close to asking you to queue up the fantasy stuff. Let's like maybe do that in a couple weeks all the trade and free agency and draft stuff is kind of finished, and then we're starting to prep for fantasy and stuff. Because I think that's a really interesting connection point, right, between fantasy and cards.
Yeah, it's there are big problems. You shouldn't just rely on it, of course, but
sure.
Yeah, it's another perspective.
I remember Camden from my previous podcast was a big fantasy guy, and he was convinced that Andre Drummond was one of the best players in the NBA. So I know if you're not careful, it can lead you astray as well.
That's a great example. I love it. Yeah, I mean, he's a fantasy god. Like, you know, 14 boards a game. Like, he gets steals. His field goal is awesome. Scores like 20 points. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, how are y'all feeling about your team's moves?
I feel like John should go first. Both you guys had more exciting off seasons than my Bulls, so you guys should go.
What are you talking about? You got the MVP.
That's true. We'll discuss. You guys go first.
All right. I'll go first. I mean, for a team that has had no continuity for, you know, one plus decade, like, just love that we basically ran it back. And I mean, the Sabonis deal, I think he was going to sign in Sacramento anyway, but it's kind of, at least that's just kind of off, you know, he's going to be there now 5 years, Fox for 3 years. So that's, we're going to be good for the next 3 years, I think, you know, with those two guys kind of in their primes. And so I'm happy about that. And then I thought McNair was sneaky, like with this Duarte thing, you know, mm-hmm. Like Duarte had some good run in his rookie year. And but that was when Sabonis was on Indiana, right? Because the guy just feeds shooters like that. Like he, you know, it's Kevin Herter's and that kind of guy, you know? So I thought that was a sneaky pickup. And then we signed this, you know, EuroLeague MVP, Vezenkov. He's coming over. He's like a, you know, 3-4 shooting, rebounding, maybe a bit of playmaking, but not aggressively. So nice. I'm happy with it. Yeah, the continuity is great. You know, it seems like McNair is a smart dude and kind of opportunistic. So I like that.
So is the European guy, can he survive on defense? What do you know about that?
You know, I've been meaning to ask people what his defense is like, and I don't know. Okay. My sense is it's okay, you know, but.
So yeah, so re-signed Barnes, re-signed Lyles, traded for Duarte, signed Vezenkov. Alex,
yeah, the Barnes deal was too much money. It's kind of hard to quantify Barnes for the Kings because he's like been the only adult around for 5 years or something, which I think matters. Like, I mean, he works hard. He's a good dude. Like, you know, I'm glad he's still a King, but we probably overpaid.
So what? Let me ask you, since he's now on my team, what happened to Rashawn Holmes? Like, I thought he was like kind of pretty good, and then he just, I mean, obviously I know the Sabonis thing is a part of it, but
yeah,
he just stopped
that playing. He also had a domestic violence accusation, let's say, like a year ago.
Makes sense for the Mavericks.
Oh my God, I knew that was coming.
Sorry, Keith.
But that was that was like totally
not useful in our offense, you know.
Yeah, okay.
I love watching his little push shot. I love that thing.
I mean, he can rack up stats on a bad team, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, he could probably give you 15, 20 good minutes, you know.
Okay. And what did you think of, like, giving up a first-rounder to get off of him?
Yeah, it seemed – I mean, we could have, like, traded him at times over the last couple of years, I feel like. So I feel like that was poorly managed somehow. But I do think the domestic violence thing made it difficult after that. The teams just knew we weren't using him, so we had no leverage to trade. So getting, I don't know. I just feel like we don't need more players necessarily. Like, we don't need a developmental rookie right now. You know, we traded up in the second round for some guy, Colby Jones. Yeah, we talked about this on Discord. But, you know, that guy can maybe play, you know, 10, 12 minutes off the bench because he fits in and he's like a 3-year, 4-year college guy. So, yeah, getting an 18-year-old in just kind of doesn't make sense with our timeline and what we do.
Okay.
Can I ask, were you... You know, when they did the trade initially and had this 30 plus million or whatever, did you have any moments of being like, are we about to get Draymond Green? Or have any more ambitious thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Draymond was never made sense to me at all. Like, okay, maybe it's a gimmick to make the Warriors pay more or something, but. I mean, you have Sabonis and Draymond, like they can't shoot, so you're screwed in the playoffs. So that never made sense. But I mean, the guy I kind of always have my little eye set on is Ananobi. But I think Toronto's asking a lot. I could see a trade like that though still happening, like Herter, Mitchell, a pick, something like that.
What about, I sort of wondered why, I get the continuity thing, but maybe Kyle Kuzma instead of Harrison Barnes? Was there ever talk of that?
I think, I mean, that's an upgrade, I guess. Yeah, it's definitely an upgrade. But I think that the problem is Keegan Murray's there too. So, I mean, he's probably our maybe best hope of getting really good if he gets really good, right? So I don't know. We have plenty of guys at the two. So Kuzma just was going to be kind of, I don't know. I didn't want him. I wasn't interested.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a homer, so I'm going to like whatever we do, I guess, at this point.
All right. So how are you feeling about it then? Like, good, great, bad, feeling good, I guess, right?
Me. Okay. I thought we turned to Nathaniel. Yeah. Yeah. I feel good. Okay. Yeah, good. Pretty good.
All right. So Nathaniel, then, how about the Bulls?
Oh, the Bulls. I individually like every contract they've signed this offseason, actually. Well, I don't know that I can say I like the Vucevic one, but I think it's fine. I think, you know, if what's his name on Toronto, Poeltl, if he gets 4 for 80, then Vucevic getting 3 for 60 is fine. Javon Carter's going to be the MVP. as my name on this discussion says. Anyway, inside joke. But I like Jalen Carter. He actually shot like 42% on a decent amount of threes last year. He's a great defender. Kind of, I mean, the Bulls have been last, I think, for the last 2 years in three-pointers made. So I like that they added Carter. I like that they added Torrey Craig. Both those guys shot threes pretty well last year. I wanted them to re-sign Coby White. I got kind of optimistic about him at the end of the year.
Really?
Yeah. He can really shoot, and he's trying harder on defense. He's got decent size. I'm a little bit more, not as a star, but I think he's a, you know, solid sixth man kind of guy.
Yeah. How old is he?
What's that?
How old is he?
That's a good question.
23, 24.
Okay.
He's 23. I'm looking at it.
Yeah. I have no problems with the 3-year, $33 million deal for him.
Yeah. He got Gabe Vincent money.
Exactly. And maybe Gabe Vincent's better, but I don't, projecting forward, I don't think he is. So every individual thing is fine, but I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what the plan is. Like, we do all this and at best, eighth seed. So I get the signings. I don't know the vision. I think they need to trade DeMar DeRozan right now while he still has all this value. I think they should be looking into what they can get for LaVine, but I just get status quo as the operating plan for the Bulls.
Yeah, I'm totally like hypothesizing, but it seems to me like DeMar DeRozan is one of those guys that everybody in the league, like all the players like I could see him like one of these veteran teams or like the Lakers or something. Like I can imagine like LeBron really wanting him or something. Yeah, exactly. Like that.
And pushing their teams to, I think we could get a lot for DeMar DeRozan. And he is very good. I don't know that he makes sense on a lot of teams because he basically has to have the ball to be very useful.
Doesn't shoot threes, yeah.
But yeah, I could see like the Bucks or a lot of teams giving us everything they could for DeMar. So I wish that the Bulls were planning to do that, because otherwise they have to sign him to an extension now. And that just seems like doubling down on what has been a disappointing team. So I don't know. Does that make sense? I kind of like all the signings fine, but I also don't like it all where the Bulls are.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. You like every piece, but not the whole picture. Right.
Yeah, the picture sucks. The individual pieces were solid.
Yeah, that makes sense, man. I think you guys should trade DeRozan. I mean, it also to the Lakers, I could really see that because he could just spell, you know, LeBron and AD, just kind of give them the offense they need.
And the Lakers love signing guys who can't shoot threes, so I think that'd be great.
There you go. Although they had kind of an interestingly like smart offseason, I guess. But I actually don't think it was smart, but all the pundits think it was smart.
I don't love it as much as all the pundits. I think it's fine, but all these guys can't shoot other than Prince and Reeves. I mean, Reeves, of course, is great.
Yeah, he's great. He's like Fletch.
Damn, why? I know Bill Simmons keeps talking about this, but why didn't the Spurs give Reeves the max they could? There's no way the Lakers weren't going to match it. Why don't you make a rival team pay $40 more million? I don't understand it.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know the machinations behind it, but teams just never do that. Like, except for Ayton, what was it? The Hornets?
The Kings do it.
The Kings do it?
Oh yeah, the Zach LaVine contract.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
And didn't your Mavericks just did it with Thibault?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true too.
I know back in the day it made sense because you had to wait like a week with your cap space, but now isn't it like 48 hours or something?
I think that's right. The Ayton thing was 48.
And nothing else is happening now, so I don't understand. Like, why aren't people, you know, giving some crazy offer to PJ Washington right now? I don't know.
Yeah, I thought the Mavs were going to offer PJ, but it sounds like they got something else done.
Yeah, speaking of which, I'm personally over here. I think the Mavs have done great. What do you think?
Well, I personally think they've done a really good job. At least, like, it was very clear that we needed to, okay, and this is a very broad statement, but basically it was pretty clear that we needed to, like, make some moves, right? Like, the running this team back was not going to work. And I feel like we did a pretty good job. Like, we improved our defense and got younger at the same time and did it all without, like, sacrificing anything major. I thought the draft stuff was great. Like, getting off Bertans for moving down two picks, easy.
Yeah.
That one's nice.
Yeah, that's a win. Yeah.
Would you have rather them not done the the Kings portion of it? Because I loved the first move, but I wasn't sure about taking on all that money for Holmes.
I guess I would say, like, I imagine, at least with our roster, Holmes being a more useful player at a lower number than Bertans was. So by getting off Bertans and taking on Holmes, we were able to still get the guy that we were probably going to pick with the 10th pick and pick up another kind of power forward type, like DFS style. Like, I don't know if he's going to be a three player, but supposed to be a really good defensive player, Omax. So I don't know. No, I don't have a problem with it. I like picking up another pick because we don't have any first round picks for a while that we can use. So
yeah, cool.
He can be useful. You know, he can give you useful minutes off the bench, and that's worth a 24th pick. You know.
Yeah, and I think he will. Are you talking about Holmes?
No, the rookie. Oh,
Prosper. Yeah, I think so too. And like I said, we just don't have opportunities in the next few years to get rookies, like decent rookies in. So any opportunity we have to get another one, I'm all for, just to have at least some bullets in the chamber, right? Like, hopefully this guy turns out. If he doesn't, you know, all we did was we took on Holmes for another year, right? Like, that's not that big of a deal. Plus, I think Holmes will be in the rotation. Agreed. Too.
Is it just one more year after this year for Holmes?
I don't know for sure. I thought that was the case, but
yeah. It's not more than 2 years.
Player option. He has a player option next year, so yeah.
I love the Grant Williams thing.
Yeah, the cool thing about that is because it was a sign and trade, it doesn't use up our MLE, which means that we can still offer it to Thybul, who I'm actually like less excited about. A lot of people are in Mavs land are really excited about potentially adding Thybul, but I'm a little bit less so. But still, we maintain the MLE because of the way that they constructed the Grant Williams deal.
Yeah, I don't know about the Thybul thing either, but Grant Williams seems perfect. The defense and shooting from the corners. That seems perfect for this roster.
Yeah. So I've been really happy with what they've done. Like I said, it's not done. We really, really need a true kind of starting center. It sounds like we're going to run Dwight Powell out there again and his 4 rebounds a game. but I like Dwight. I mean, he's good, and he's good with Luka too. So, I mean, that's fine.
I've got a 3-year, $60 million contract from my team that I would trade you.
No, thanks.
Okay.
So yeah, I've been happy. Mavs fans have been happy. I think we're doing good. And it's also like one is just kind of refreshing and exciting because this kind of movement didn't really happen under like Donnie Nelson. And also because no one really knew if Nico Harrison, who was like a shoe company executive before this, could really be like a GM. But I'm pretty sure like Dennis Lindsay, who was in the Jazz front office for a while, is advising or something like that. Whatever it is, he's been doing pretty good. Like, there was a lot of I don't know about concern. I had concern that he was going to be able to actually fulfill the functions of a GM without having any kind of experience doing it or anything. But it's been a good offseason, I think.
What about the Kyrie contract? What do you think about that? Also, I just read that the Blazers matched the title offer.
Okay. Yeah, Kyrie, I don't have a problem with it, really. Like, we signed him for less than max, 2 years in a player option. I imagine by the time it's time for him to exercise his option, there'll be some drama or he'll want to get out or whatever. So rather than losing him for nothing, I'm happy to have him. I'm happy to have him. We'll see for now. We'll see if, you know, it becomes a whole thing. But he's a lot of fun to watch. Yeah,
he's gone by February, I think. So who do you want to trade him for?
Wow. I don't know. I hadn't thought about that.
All right,
I
mean, to be continued on that.
Which of the Lakers contracts do you like, I guess?
Let me ask y'all. So, like, here's a question. John, I think it was you that you were asking me about Christian Wood a year ago about this time. Or
yep.
Maybe after the season started. He's still UFA, unrestricted, out there. No one seems to be offering anything. What do you think about that?
I mean, he's been on what, like six teams? Like, yeah, I mean, clearly he's like got problems. I don't know, in working in organizations or something.
Yeah,
you would know better. Is he just like a bad dude, or what is it about him?
I read this somewhere else, so it's not totally my opinion, but I think he just has kind of like the wrong kind of chip on his shoulder. Like, yeah, he was undrafted and he worked his way up and had, you know, had to sign the contract and all those things, but it just seems like he thinks he has to prove himself to be like the hero, and when he doesn't get that opportunity, he's like not fully engaged.
Reminds me of another Mavs flyer, Willie Cauley-Stein.
Yeah.
That was a great pick by Vlade.
You know, I mean, I just said the thing about the Bulls not shooting any three-pointers. It could make some sense for my Bulls, and it's not like, I don't know, we're not doing anything else, so maybe we should try.
Would?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be sad if they gave him a one-year minimum contract or whatever.
Well, we're about to have to wrap up. let me ask one last question. Is there, I actually went through this, I couldn't find much. Is there any moves that you think has a significant impact on cards?
Give me, I need a moment. Nathaniel, can you answer?
Yeah, I was thinking the Pacers moves collectively are really great for Halliburton. They got all these guys who can cut and dunk between Bruce Brown and Obi Toppin. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be better, and I think it's going to just put more of a limelight on the fact of how great Halliburton is. So not at all related to the players they signed, but I think just in showing off one of the young top stars in the league, I think Halliburton is a big winner card-wise from this offseason.
Nice. Yeah.
I have had that thought as well. Now that you say it, and they were good last year at stretches, you know.
Yeah,
and they definitely got a better roster this year. So
yeah, and when he didn't play, they were horrible. It was very clear how important he is. I mean, the Bruce Brown contract looks big on paper, but it's really a 1-year contract. So yeah, I kind of love what they did.
Nice. All right. Well, anything else
from you, Nathaniel?
I mean, we had talked about me looking at Eastern teams and you guys looking at Western, so I haven't really thought about the Western teams, but that's the one that stood out to me from the East.
Yeah, I don't really have any screaming thing, to be honest, so I don't have an answer.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, like, if Max Strus makes an impact on Cleveland and helps that team, like, kind of, I don't know about get to the next level. Like, I don't think it's going to be, like, just him is going to be the thing that pushes them over, but I imagine he's going to fit in really well with that group.
I'm apparently highly skeptical of these Miami guys, because I'm like, I thought that contract was crazy. I was less in love with Gabe Vincent contract than everyone else. So I apparently just don't believe in the Miami role players.
Yeah, and I'll just add to the Indiana point. Another guy I'm going to be watching preseason is Obi Toppin.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He was on my list also as, like, with his new situation, he's almost certainly going to get more minutes. You know, I think he's a decent candidate for a breakout. Yeah.
Would he be a starter on that team? Who's their power forward? I don't even know.
I don't know either.
I don't know either. This is an NBA card pod here, guys. Come on.
Sure.
Let's see. They've got, yeah, I mean, probably so. Jalen Smith, maybe, or Isaiah Jackson.
Man, I don't know. That's dark.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll play.
He'll play for sure.
They signed him. I mean, are they right. traded for?
Anyway, well, guys,
you got to run, Keith.
I got to run. Yeah.
All right, man. This was fun to do another podcast here.
Yeah, it was. It's been a long time, especially for me. I know y'all did the last one, so thanks for that. And yeah, I'm excited. It was a lot of fun to talk. I'm glad we did this.
Great being with you guys. Have a good one.
Have a good day, guys.
Later.
Shut it down.